KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 75 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy, warm and humid today with scattered late-day showers and thunderstorms, a possibility, and a high around 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. In local news, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday voted 4-3 to move forward with ways to address the city's housing needs by means of using the city EDR, or Economic Development Revolving Loan Fund, as part of an infill housing initiative. The city's Personnel and Finance Committee has already endorsed the further exploration of ways to identify a potential buyer or buyers of an 870-square-foot modular-type home with a basement to be built on land owned by the city either north of 7th or north of 14th Streets. Home buyers must be pre-approved for the loan, or they can purchase a larger home. And again, the target price is expected to be around $120,000 to $130,000. Mayor Dave Jones was asked by Councilman Dick Cassidy if any city money would be involved.
Yeah, we said start with, but then it'd be paid back. So we discussed the meeting.
If needed,
yeah. There'll be something to start no matter what happens. Depends what happens, we get a firm buyer on it.
Jones said they're looking at a company out of Missouri Valley to construct a modular home.
So basically, what I'm trying to get done is get, I got the price of a house, I got two different prices on basements. We'll get the water stuff. I'm getting all the prices together. My plan is to go to the realtor, talk to him about this, see if we get any, make sure we get the backing out of them, get them set up, show they can do sell a house on north of, you can sell a fairly good house north of 7th Street or 14th Street at a reasonable price, and then show me can make money on it. I want to make sure there's some money to be made on it so they can see that. That's the plan behind it. Uh-huh. We're talking to spring, whatever happens.
The buyer, who Jones said would preferably be a working couple, would have to be pre-approved, as I mentioned. The city would supply a vacant lot where a home was previously demolished and the land cleared. The idea is to get that property back on the tax base. Nothing will happen until next spring, though, according to Jones. Councilman Chris Jimerson, who voted in favor of moving forward, was initially opposed to using city money for a construction zone to a pre-qualified buyer. Councilman Cassidy expressed similar concerns.
People jump me all the time. They say, don't get involved, don't put in taxpayers' money in, get building houses and stuff. Stay out of it. Let a contractor do that on their own.
We've tried that.
No city money.
We've tried that.
And Cassidy, Councilpersons Hayes and Hartkopf voted against the move. Hayes said not enough has been done to promote the vacant lots the city owns that are available to build on.
I like to say that I understand that infill housing is important and people talk about it a lot, but I still think that there's, when if people knew what lots there were that were city owned, because a lot of people aren't aware of which ones are, and if they knew, there's a possibility that one of those people that's in a neighboring property would rather have it to expand their home, which again, yeah, it's not going to be as much as a new house being on it coming back, but it's still a little more than, it's better than nothing, and I would prefer staying out of building homes.
Jones said he's working on the finer details of the program. The bottom line is that expensive homes aren't likely to be built on those lots, so it's better to offer an alternative such as the infill program.
You can't build a $227,000 house in those neighborhoods because they just won't fit and they won't sell. But you can build a $120,000 to $130,000 price tag on one, and it's going to go pretty close to where houses are. So how do you get that done? Why do you say, no, we ain't going to do anything with it, leave our lots the way they are, and go that way with it? I mean, the whole thing is you got to try something, and this is a trial. If I don't get the people lined up for it, it ain't going to happen.
In other business, the council, by a vote of 6-1, decided to move forward with keeping the speed limit on the northern section of Sunnyside Lane from 10th Street at 25 miles per hour, and the southernmost 1,600-plus feet of at 35 miles per hour. The next step is for the city attorney to review a draft ordinance on the matter and for a vote on the final draft. Well, sheriff's officials in Mills County report a man and woman from Pottawatomie County were arrested Tuesday night on drug charges. 51-year-old Chad Lee McCurley and 40-year-old Carrie Annie Quinlan, both of Council Bluffs, were taken into custody in the vicinity of Deacon and Glover Roads between 9 and 10 p.m. Tuesday. Both were charged with possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. McCurley was also charged with OWI first offense, speeding and driving under suspension. His bond was set at $4,600. Bond for Quinlan was set at $1,300. And 21-year-old Brandon Lee Mayberry Meston of Glenwood was arrested Tuesday evening for driving under suspension and financial responsibility violation. His bond was set at $1,300. The Mills County Sheriff's Office said also 71-year-old Jerry Ponow of Hastings, Iowa, was transported by Malvern Rescue to Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs following an accident at around 6:40 a.m. on Wednesday. Authorities say 45-year-old Shannon Gravette of Emerson was driving a 2000 Chevy westbound on Highway 34 when Panow, who was driving a 2012 Ford, entered the roadway from 315th Street on the north side of Highway 34. He failed to see the westbound Chevy. His vehicle was hit by the Gravette vehicle. Gravette was not injured in the crash. Officials at the Harlan Police Department yesterday released a report on arrests. Authorities say last Saturday, 35-year-old Amy Jean Marie Lesline and 47-year-old Timothy Thomas Sorensen, both of Harlan, were arrested after a search warrant was executed at a residence in the 800 block of 10th Street. Lesline and Sorensen were arrested on charges that include distribution of a controlled substance, failure to affix a drug tax stamp, prohibited acts, gathering where controlled substances are used, possession of drug paraphernalia, delivery or manufacture of a controlled substance and child endangerment, and they were booked into the Shelby County Jail. On September 12, 31-year-old Joey Lee Rowney of Harlan was arrested on an active Shelby County warrant for theft in the fifth degree and trespassing. He was also charged with possession of a controlled substance after he was transported to the Shelby County Jail. And 26-year-old Kayla Marie Strong of Harlan was arrested also on September 12th on an active warrant. She was brought to the Shelby County Jail. In other news from the Harlan Police Department, on September 8th, 55-year-old George Otis Brittain and 57-year-old Susan K. Boroff, both of Harlan, were arrested following the execution of a search warrant. They face charges that include possession with the intent to deliver, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and prohibited acts. That same day, September 8th, 25-year-old Adam Tyrone Scheffler of Harlan was arrested following a traffic stop. He was charged with delivery of a controlled substance, possession with the intent to deliver a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, also, possession of a controlled substance, prohibited acts penalties, ongoing criminal conduct, and failure to affix a drug tax stamp. The traffic stop in Pottawatomie County at around 9:45 p.m. Tuesday in the 37,000 block of Highway 6 resulted in the arrest of a passenger in that vehicle. Sheriff's officials said yesterday the 23-year-old Sean Richard Ellis of Council Bluffs was arrested for violation of a no-contact order with regard to a woman from Oakland and for providing false information. Ellis was being held without bond in the Pott County Jail on the no-contact charge. And a deputy called to a residence in Carson Tuesday night to check on a wanted male made contact with the subject, 38-year-old David Aaron Hazel of Glenwood. Dispatch confirmed the man had two active warrants for criminal mischief in the fifth degree and third degree harassment. Hazel was transported to the Pottawatomie County Jail. The Union County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that a Creston man reported on Monday that sometime on Saturday, someone stole his 2013 Suzuki 500 Quad Runner, quad four-wheeler, which was camo in color. The machine has an estimated value of $5,000. The Clarinda Police Department would like to remind citizens of Clarinda that no parking is allowed on certain streets on Saturday, September 29th from 7:30 a.m. until 12 p.m. due to the annual Band Day Jamboree Parade. Those streets include the 100 through 800 block of West Main, the 100 block of East Main in Clarinda, the 100 block of North 15th Street, the 100 block of East Washington Street, and the 100 block through 300 block of West Washington Street, also 24th Street or Cardinal Drive in Clarinda, from Garfield Street to State Street. The police department appreciates the cooperation of the citizens in removing their vehicles from the parade route again on September 29th, and vehicles that are not removed will be towed at the expense of the registered owners. If you have any questions, you can contact the Clarinda Police Department. Well, the Iowa State Patrol yesterday released information about a fatal crash that occurred at around 8:45 p.m. on Monday in northwest Iowa's Plymouth County. Authorities say a 2009 Nissan Rogue driven by 38-year-old Muhammad Abdahai Muhammad of Sioux City was traveling south on Highway 75 when, for reasons unknown, the SUV left the road where it struck a, went out of control it is, and while entering the roadway again, crossed into the northbound lanes where it struck a 2008 Dodge Dakota pickup nearly head-on. 6-year-old Ayan Ibrahim of Sioux City, who was wearing a child restraint belt, died from his injuries suffered in the crash. The driver of the pickup, 33-year-old Sarah Lansnesa Lamars, along with Muhammad Abdullah Muhammad and his passengers, 34-year-old Hawa Arab and Rayan Arab, both of Sioux City, were injured in the crash. Rayan Arab was transported by Lamars' ambulance to Sanford Children's Hospital in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Lansnes was transported to Iowa Lutheran by Hinton Ambulance. The other crash victims were transported by ambulance to the Floyd Valley Hospital in Lamars. The State Patrol says they were assisted at the scene by the Hinton Ambulance, the Lamars Police Department, Lamars Fire and Rescue, and the Merrill Ambulance Service. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.